Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk with you today about the apostolic age we are living in. How many of you realize that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds, and some to be teachers? And we have moved into the apostolic age, and there's a lot of definitions of that. If I would say to you the greatest definition of what the apostolic is, I think you find it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. He gave some to be, first to be apostles, secondly to be prophets, thirdly teachers, workers of miracles, all of this. I believe that defines it. I also believe Ephesians 2:20 does, where he said, I'll build my church upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, upon the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to cut through all that, and I want to get to it because I believe we are living in the age of sending. Look to your neighbor and say, sending. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that in 2003, the prophet John Paul Jackson spoke a word into Susan and I. We were in Sam Hinn's church. There were many great men of God there. Mark Cerona, the guy wrote the book God Chasers. Tommy Tenney, it was a great conference. And John Paul Jackson spoke to us about this work, about how God was going to send us here and establish some significant gates, all of that, and even spoke to us, as something many of you know, that our home in Dyersburg, our house in Dyersburg, can't sell a home, you can sell a house, our house in Dyersburg would sell before we got home. And I remember at the end of the prophecy, I knew the prophecy was right, but I looked at Susan and I said, our house ain't for sale. But on the way home, we called someone and told them, said, we don't want to let the word out to the congregation there yet, but we know we're going to be moving. We don't know where. We know we're going to be moving. And the person that I called to tell about said, well, I want to buy your house. And I said, you don't even know what I'm going to want for it. He said, I know you're a fair man, and I know my wife and I have been praying that God bless you with a better house so we could buy your house. And he said, I told him, I said, well, we don't even know. We don't know what. He said, it don't matter. Tell me it's mine. Tell me it's sold. I said, sold. The word of the Lord came to pass. And so even though I'm sent here, God is raising up, just as it is at Freedom House in Jacksonville, just as it is in Citygate, Atlanta, we could talk about many places. He's raising up places like this to be senders of people out into their destiny. How many of you know that your destiny is when his purpose through your life is fulfilled? I want you to catch that. See, religion has taught us to seek our purpose through his life, but the truth of the matter is it's about his purpose through our life. Jesus lives in the earth through us today. When you lay hands on someone, you're provoking blessings in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Now, go with me to God's word, to Matthew 22 and verse 14. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Look to your neighbor and say, chosen. But I want to tell you, it's not just a little bit. It's a lot stronger in the original text. I can't tell you why that when these guys translated, they did it a certain way, the culture, the time, whatever. But what it actually said, for many are called, but few choose to be chosen. I want that to settle in on you. Are you choosing today to be chosen by God? You know, it's one thing to say I volunteer, but it's another thing to really step up and engage the grace that God has for your life. You know, I was with a cousin this week that I was reconnected to earlier this year. In fact, when we were down in Jacksonville, I found a cousin I'd not seen since 1986. We're 33 days difference in age. And when we were kids growing up, we were very close. And the busyness of life and his world travels and mine, we just lost contact with each other. And he came in for a couple of days, and we were talking about, he lost his dad just a few years ago like I did. And we talked about the grace that was there when that came. How many of you realize no matter what comes your way, there is a grace, if you will embrace it, that can strengthen you and empower you to be who you're supposed to be at that time? And God wants us to embrace that grace. But it says, many are called, but few choose to be chosen. Few choose to be chosen. While I was in Brazil, Star had a friend named Rebecca. She just posted out on Facebook, which is worldwide, that she had three friends off in ministry. I know one of them was Aaron, because I know her. I feel like I do. And then myself and someone else. And somehow, a friend of hers in Brazil found out that I was in the city where she lived, and she came to the meeting because she chose to be chosen, and the word of the Lord came out over her, and the glory manifestation was dumped out. Her name was Rebecca, and she came, and God touched her. And so what I'm telling you, she could have stayed home that night. She could have missed that. I don't know, have you heard from her? Has she made her decision?
I don't know what you said.
Oh, you know what I said? Oh, I thought she... with it, but I began to prophesy to her that God was going to bring her back to the U.S. And she told me after the ministry that she was in a 2-week window of time that she had to choose whether she was coming back to the U.S. for some further, I don't know where it's training or business or what, but for some reason, or stay there. And the word of the Lord was confirmed to her through that. But see, she would not have gotten that had she not gotten up that night, driven across. Listen, and you don't travel in San Paulo very easily, okay? And you sure don't want to be a motor boy. That's the guys on motorcycles out with it. And I'm telling you, it was not easy, but she chose. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, it said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Look to your neighbor and say, bear fruit. You should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. See, you have to understand, you can be chosen, but then you must be commissioned, and you must be sent. You must be chosen, you must be commissioned, and you must be sent. There was a period of time, 25 years ago, that anybody, Jim Lehman would know, that anybody could hang a shingle out and start a charismatic church in a storefront, and it would seemingly prosper. 25 years ago. I mean, just anybody. You know, the first church of the frozen, and people would come out of the woodwork, you know, with it. I mean, it was just that way. But the more that we come into the alignment of God, the apostolic alignment, remember what I quoted? He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds, and some to be teachers for the equipping. Everybody say equipping. Well, what that word actually is there is the word aligning. How many of you know it's time to be positioned? Anybody here tried to be the forehead when you were called to be the knee? It's not. Listen, for years men tried to make me into what they wanted me to be, and every time they would get me all squeezed into what they wanted me to be, and it's not because I'm rebellious, but an arm would pop out. I mean, I was like Jack out of the box. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I realized years ago when I went through a relationship change that I had conformed my gift and conformed my image to what a group of men wanted me to be. And I want to tell you, it's stressful when you live there. But when you can find an environment that is filled with true apostolic virtue, it's a place that you can be everything you're supposed to be. And you can learn how to be, not just learn, you can be developed into being sent forth to accomplish the will of God. So we need to be, listen to that, we need to be chosen, but then we need to be commissioned, and then we need to be sent forth. How many of you realize that it's a power in being sent forth? Amen? In John 1:6, it talks about a man sent from God, and his name was John. It's about being sent. We are living in apostolic. See, I believe that every one of you, I believe Jeremiah, how old is he now? 4. He knows how old he is. I believe Jeremiah has a ministry call in his life. I believe Christian has a ministry call. My daughter Dawn has one. Sylvia, every person in this room has a ministry call. It might not be on the religious mountain. It might not be behind a pulpit. It might be out on the street. It might be in the business mountain. It might be in the media mountain. It might be in the arts and entertainment mountain. But when you discover that and you begin to fulfill that, but how many of you know you need to be commissioned and sent forth to that place that God has destined you to go? It's not, please hear me, it's too hard when you don't have the power. Listen, commissioning is just simply the power of agreement. Let that settle in. It's just simply the power. Number one, it's not you and I coming into agreement. It's us coming into agreement with what His said. Remember, even Jesus had to go through that moment. Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. When that happened, do you know that what He did? He embraced the grace for the journey that was ahead of Him, which was a tough journey. But there, just for a moment, out of His humanity, He said, let this cup pass for me. And then He said, no. All of a sudden, that Spirit of God that was in Him. See, he had a dual role. He was Son of God, Son of Man. Right? Ooh, that was quiet. Listen, time out. Come out. Won't you listen? You're Son of God, Son of Man. I was born and conceived by a man and woman, but when I got born again, I became a Son of God. Y'all need a little light bulb, come on. See, too many of you living like you're only the Son of Man. Let me tell you what, if you live your whole life only as the Son of Man, then generational curses will come upon and try to destroy you. Amen. But when you ascend into your place as a Son of God, those curses are severed and broken. I had someone say to me about a year ago about some cleansing and deliverance and all that, and I wasn't being ugly, and I believe in that, but can I tell you something? I said, look, if you really had eyes of discernment, you'd be able to look at me and see the splinters in my lip where I embraced the kiss of the cross and came into some deliverance. I'm all for cleansing. I'm all for it, but I want to tell you, sometimes you just got to wrestle with the cross. You just got to embrace it. You got to go to that place, and when you do, you can come through to the other side with freedom. Are you hearing me today? In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18 through 21, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look at your neighbor and say, He's talking about you. Come on, let's bring this into present tense. I mean, do we believe this or not? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He has anointed you. I'm changing a little bit. This is Jesus speaking about Himself. Let me read it like God's Word says so nobody won't say I'm changing the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord every time you come to church. How many of your translation has that last part in it? No, that's what we're to do 24/7. That's what we're to do, whether it's at St. Jude, whether it's at FedEx, whether it's at IHOP. You know, we ate it. Where'd we eat? Waffle House or Huddle House? I get them both. Waffle House this morning. We met Matt and Natalie and her mom and with it. But I want to tell you something. We were in ministry there. It's not about when we come together and just assemble here. And it said, listen to that. Then He closed the book and He gave it back to the attendant and He sat down. And it says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He was sent. He sat down. In other words, in the synagogue in those days, they always kept an empty seat where no one was allowed to sit in it because it was there for the coming Messiah. And that day, He fulfilled the words that He was the coming Messiah by setting down that seat. That's the reason all eyes were fixed on Him. How dare, isn't that Joseph's boy? You know, I was just over there at Nazareth the other day, and I saw him sweeping sawdust out of his daddy's shop. And he's going to sit in the Messiah's seat? You got to catch that. All eyes were fixed on. Listen, you will never become who God's called you to be until you're willing to declare who He's called you to be. You've got to come to faith. Listen, when I believe that Jesus knew who God, His Father, had called Him to be, but He had to make the journey to come to faith in it. We could talk about Jonathan there. I use him many times. Jonathan went out into the wilderness. He went out to David, who was then called to be the king of Israel, and Jonathan prophesied to him. He said, you're going to be the next king, and I'm going to stand at your right hand. How many of you read this? But then it said, but then Jonathan returned to his father's house. I want you to catch this. See, how do we know he was prophesying? Number one, according to the culture of the land, Jonathan was the rightful heir of Saul's kingdom. For him to stand and prophesy that another man was going to be king and him not king, he had to be speaking for God. God had said something to Jonathan. But the scripture says he returned to his father's house. Let me talk to you about his father's house. In his father's house, he had a goose down bed. In his father's house, he had a cupbearer. Every night when he got ready to go to bed, if he wanted, he could have a cup of wine brought to him. If he was a little bit warm, someone fanned him. If he was a little bit cool, somebody brought some warmth to him. Are you hearing me? It was comfortable there in his father's house. And as a result of the word coming, how many of you know that when the word of God comes to you, faith comes? But how many of you know there's a journey until you come to faith? And because Jonathan never journeyed into faith, he went back to his father's house and he died on the wrong day for the wrong cause, on the wrong sword, his own sword, if you read the scriptures close, in the wrong battle as a result. See, if I would say to, I spoke over creative idea, and that's, the, I believe, as that was the word of the Lord, faith came to him. But he has to embrace that faith and make a journey to come to faith. I remember in 2005, it was a tough year here in this building. Everything that I thought God had promised me seemed to vaporize. And I had to just keep walking, Jim, by faith. Kind of where y'all been walking recently. Do you just keep walking by faith? You know that God has promised. And you keep, you listen, sometimes you have to just do what you know to do. And it's not easy and you have to stir it up. But if you're going to get to that place of being sent, you've got to come to that place. But he said these things. Now I want to go back and read it one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Look your neighbor, say you. For he's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. Can I tell you what St. Francis of Assisi said? He said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when you have to, use words. Come on. Let me tell you what the Bible, buckle, religious, traditional area needs right now. It needs people to preach the gospel through lifestyle and not words only. I get so accused. If I preach my experiences, they say I'm all caught up on me. But I'm going to tell you, just come hang around me. I got it going because I've surrendered to him. No other reason. The blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you, but you got to surrender. Pray to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's time. Listen to me, I'm not talking about the Messiah's throne, but it's time for you to sit down in the seat of authority that God prepared before the foundation of the earth and take authority over some situation going on around you and over the family issue and see them come back into alignment with God so that the favor of God and the promises of God can come upon your family. I no longer battle for myself. I battle for the sons and daughters of my flesh and the spiritual sons and daughters of my heart and those that I have come into relational covenant like Dan and Vicky and Thomas and Kathy and Henry and Mary and Jim and Debbie and others that's in this room. I battle for you. Come on. Listen, if all you got time to do is, if you're spending all your time battling your own battles for your own self, you're in a very small world. Preaching better than your amen it. I'm serious about this. Last Sunday, we had a good service. But it started off tough and it irritated me. And I've still got a burr under my saddle. How in the world can we go from the kind of conference that we had on the weekend of the 17th to where we battled so hard? It wasn't here this Sunday, thank God. But last Sunday was tough. And can I tell you, it's all about passivity. Well, let everybody else go down and pick at the, you know, and pray at the abortion clinics and do all this kind of stuff. You know, it really don't make any difference. I read in an old book somewhere in a chapter called Kings where it said there was neither voice nor answer nor any who regarded. How many of you think you love me? This nation's going to hell in a handbasket, and the church is asleep at the wheel. For our guests, I don't apologize, but I'm not going to quit preaching it like it is. God has sent me to bring awakening. He sent me to raise up an army. If you want a nice little family church where everything is just warm and fuzzy and we can chew bubble gum on Sunday while the preacher's preaching and there's no accountability in anything, I can recommend several of them. And we'll be happy to commission you to go and be a part of that there. I'm not being arrogant, but I wasn't called to lead a flock. I was called to raise up an army. Amen. Not, and no apologies. Please don't take for granted what God's doing. Let's talk about some signs of being sent. Go with me to Psalms 40, verse 13. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my step. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it, fear it, and trust in it. A sign of you being commissioned and sent from God is people's going to see that there's something different in your life. If you've worked all your life, listen, I have a friend that I won't say where the church was. This has been many years ago, but there was a church very near here. It was in a different state, but it's very near here. And he played golf. He was a pastor, and he played golf one day with two men. He ended up, you know, it was a draw thing where he ended up on a team with some other men playing golf. And he began to talk to one of them. He's trying to, and he said, well, I'm the pastor over at certain church. And he said, well, I know who you are. He said, well, how do you know who I am? He said, I play golf every week with one of your elders. And so as they played golf that day, it was a tournament, you know, a long day and everything. My friend, I'm going to say his first name, Mike, he told the guy, he said, well, why don't you come visit? He said, man, I ain't about to come to your church. And he said, why? And he said, well, for over 10 years, I've played golf every week with your elder, and he's never mentioned Jesus to me, and he never invited me to your church. You know what my friend did? He went in the pulpit the next Sunday and announced in 3 months they was closing the church and selling everything. He said, I won't lead anybody. He let every elder go. Pretty drastic. I believe and hope he had a word to do it. But how many of you know we don't need these Sunday mornings, sir, if we're just going to come in and, I'm not even going to say that, Lord. Just come in and make everybody feel good. You're to get something today that's going to make a difference in the life of a waiter or waitress today. Make a difference in the life of somebody that you work with there. People are hungry for prayer. Amen. They want prayer all the time. And you've got an opportunity to minister. I love hanging around Michael, one of the interns. I mean, almost every week, if I turn him loose to talk, sometimes it's harder to get him to stop. But, I mean, he's prayed for somebody at Walmart. He's prayed for somebody here. He doesn't have a ministry. He is ministry. He's not looking for somewhere to minister. He's looking for the Lord to touch somebody through his life. It says give him honor to whom honor is due. How about this one? In Philippians 4 and verse 5, it says, and I'm going to read it from what the original text says. It said, let the nature, or actually the character, the authority, and the nature of Christ that is within you. Look to your neighbor and say, that's you. That is within you. Be evident to all men, the Lord shall come suddenly. I want you to think about the last time you was around a group of people that you don't go to church with, you don't know as Christian. What did they see in you? Did they see the character, the authority, and the nature? Years ago, my wife and I were asked to leave a traditional church because we believed in healing. And the pastor didn't. We actually carried him to a healing meeting where people were getting out of wheelchairs. And he told us on the way home, we drove back from Little Rock with him that night. He said, I believe that was the devil healing those people. I mean, it's pretty, And so he said, you know, he told us, he said, I think I'd just be more comfortable if y'all found another church to worship in. And so we did. I'd went to high school with him and, you know, was in a very small town in Arkansas, and we found another church, and we ended up in the same Christian softball league as he was in. And every year, his church would recruit all the power hitters. You know, they had all these rules. You had to tithe. They had to go to church so many times to be able to play. Well, he'd get these guys to do it, you know, that were power hitters because they were so competitive. And Canada, every Friday night, the church we were a part of, we just got together and prayed all night. And we'd go eat breakfast every morning about daylight together, and we'd go home and sleep. And about 2 o'clock that day, we played in this Christian softball league, and we played real good ball, Jim. And one day, one of their players twisted an ankle or did something. I don't remember what it was, but he's laying at second base. I can remember. And you know what our team did? We did what we are. We ran out there and started praying. And can I just be honest? I even remember some of them that was with us. I don't think this was the greatest wisdom necessarily or lack of wisdom necessarily either, but they started speaking in tongues. Let me just tell you what. That was 1985. Yeah, let me just tell you, tongues among traditional people were not as acceptable back then as it is today. And I'm just being honest. And so we just started, and the guy was healed. He got up and he said, oh my goodness, the swelling went down. And about a week later, this pastor called me and he said, hey, would you stop by? I want to talk with you. And this is what he said. He said, I don't know what it is you got. He said, you and that church you go to, y'all got something we don't have.
Wow.
Are you hearing me? This particular pastor was actually Arthur Blessed's first cousin. Yeah. You know, we introduced him to something that was out beyond, not by trying to change his doctrine, but by living it out. Let the character, the authority, and the nature of Christ who is within you be evident to all men. John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have a great witness. I have a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Let me just share something with you. If God has commissioned you and you've been apostolically commissioned, aligned, and sent forth, the works you do will verify that you've been sent. I had someone text me for prayer. They were talking about how the witch doctors and all this were coming to you. They're in a place where that stuff is practiced. I've been to this place many times. I've spent days in this same place. And I never once, come on. I remember the time that we were somewhere and under a tent. We were with Rick Bennett from Christ the Rock Church and about 100 teenagers, and they set up a teepee. Let me just tell you, when you go to the Navajo or go to India and they set up a teepee, that's where they do peyote. That's a religion there. That's an hallucinogenic drug that comes from cactus plant. And when they do that, and they put a horse and a rider out there. And we just got the kids on their face and prayed, and they took the tent down, load the horse up on the trailer, and they went back to where it was easier. But see, everybody gets fearful. How many of you know you don't have to be fearful? Robert Tom, a great prophet of God, went to Africa one time, went to a village that had a witch doctor that led the village and wanted to preach, and the witch doctor told him he couldn't preach. And Robert Tom asked him, he said, well, what would I have to do to get your permission to preach in this village? He said, we haven't had rain in 3 years. He said, if your God can make it rain, you can preach. Robert Tom went to his old vehicle he was in. He got out his galoshes, his rubber overshoes. He put them on. He got his umbrella out. He just started walking and praising God for rain. And 3 hours later, the bottom fell out. And it rained so that the witch doctor was the first one in the village that got saved and told the rest of them, said, we need to serve his God. And you say, well, how do we know that's true? That could be a carrier. I did not personally know Robert Tom. I knew his son. His son just died about a year ago. And Roger Teal, who comes into this house, was raised up by Robert Tom. And he traveled with Ern Baxter, who I did know personally. And he traveled with F.S. Bosworth and Branham and those guys. He was a very powerful man. See, sometimes you've got to do the extraordinary to get the breakthrough that you need. But see, we all have this idea that, you know, oh, we're so spiritual, they're coming against us. I expect them to come against us. Is there any other way? But I'd supersede to the higher realm of authority, which says, no weapon they form against me will prosper. When Smith woke up and saw Satan standing at the foot of his bed, what did he do? Anybody read that book? He said, oh, it's you. And he went back to sleep. Prophetic word for the church today. We're too devil enamored. I've met the enemy. I saw him in my mirror today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me. Mm-hmm. My flesh is my biggest problem, Jim. I ain't had Lucifer show up at my house no time recently. How many of you know the devil's not omnipresent? If he's showing up at your house, that means he's letting me alone. Are you hearing me? Let me give you one other one. Where are we sent from? Remember, I just gave you signs of being sent. Let's talk about where we're sent from. The answer to that is apostolic relationships. Apostolic relationships. We had such an incredible, I can't call it an elders meeting, but I hung out with Thomas and Dan the other night. And, you know, because we are leaders, not leaving out the other elders, we just got together and had Mexican food, and we got to talking with it. And one of the things that I appreciate is the fact that God's given me wisdom to bounce things off of those above me. How many of you know it's great to sit with those that are in level with relationship, but I always go to Ken Malone and Dutch Sheets and Robert Henderson and Harold Eberly and Anthony Chapman and others like that, and I bounce things off of them and get it. And Jackie Tyre and Gay Rogers and Michael Richardson and those people. I run with those and they there's safety in a multitude of counsel. But see, we need to understand where we're sent from apostolic relationship. In Acts 13, verse 14, now the church that was in Antioch. Now, in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was also known as Niger, and they had been brought up with Herod and Saul. See, there were prophets and teachers therein. That Antioch is an apostolic training center, much like City Gate here, much like what God is doing now. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul. Didn't say separate every one of them was there, but separate those two for the work which I have called them to. See, you have to understand, you can have the biggest call. You can be called to stadiums. You can be called to do all of this stuff. But until you're separated, commissioned, and sent forth, it's just a call. Every man, woman, and child born into the earth today has a call of God on their life. Amen. Do I need to say that again? Mm-hmm. Every man, woman, and child. Every man, woman, and child has a call of God on their life. But see, that we've had this thing, clergy, laity, you know, it's all fivefold. It's all about being in ministry, okay? And they minister the Lord and they fasted. And Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. And what did they do? They sent them away. That's why we so frequently hear commissioning someone. You know, every time Valencia goes out of town, we try to lay hands. Had great meetings, in Florida, Georgia, all the places. I think, were you in Texas too? No, I wasn't in Texas? Okay. But anyway, every time, you know, that anybody's going to do some, and I for lack of a word, I'm going to call it special. I'm not going to say special project. A significant project of going out to minister somewhere. We want to lay hands on you and come in agreement with you. How many of you know it makes you bigger than you really are? Amen. Y'all, the last Sunday I was here before I went to Brazil, y'all laid hands on us. I mean, it was so significant. I mean, people don't even know. Have you been overseas with Apostle Don? Yeah. people really don't know who he is till you see him overseas. I mean, it was just breathtaking to see him move in Brazil and what he carries apostolically in that nation. But because of his apostolic authority and me going there to serve it, it caused me to go up to a whole nother level my first trip in 20 years. I was there 20 years ago with Ronnie Chavez out of Costa Rica for 3 days. And I mean, just a very quick trip in and out. Hadn't been back in all that time, but yet went in and prophesied a word that about a shift in the government. The word is so, according to them, they're so powerful, they don't even want to attach my name to it because they're fearful of some backlash on my visa as a result of it, about a shift in government. How many of you know God's shifting governments all over the world? Amen? And we need those shifts. So next, it's so being sent out by Holy Spirit, they went down and from there they sailed to Cyprus. You have to understand, it's not just about going out and doing it. It is about being commissioned and sent forth to do it. The second thing, you're first sent out from apostolic relationship. Number two, you're sent out from authority. In Nehemiah verse 2 and chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it." What did he say he did, Nehemiah did? Nehemiah is the man that got the wall rebuilt. He's the guy that got the city redone. And yet he went to the king over him and asked to be sent. Not just to go. Listen, it's foolish to think just because God has shown you that you're going to Bulgaria, that you can just up and go by yourself and accomplish. Listen, when you have a house, an apostolic sending center behind you, you go with greater commission. And it's the same thing on the business mountain. It's the same thing on the arts and entertainment mountain. It's the same thing with that. You know, I checked on Jim and them recently. I pray over y'all all the time. Because God, not because they're a part of City Gate. They could be out here. They've got their own ministry. That's not it. God knitted our hearts together. When Vicki and Dan were recently down at David Herzog meeting, one of y'all went to. I don't remember. I was gone somewhere. But I remember praying. We were in Pensacola. I remember the Lord waking me up one morning and just praying over them with that. And that's what I spoke over you today, Mike Mason. I pray over your business all the time. It's time for you to get on top. Can I say it like I told the Lord this morning? Not, you know, with it. I didn't say pray it over you, but I woke up with you on my heart this morning. I said, "Lord, I'm tired of my friend Mike Mason being the tail and not the head." That's pretty where you've been for a few years now. How many of you know, don't many people kick you in the head? You finish that thought. And I'm tired of him. It's been hard with that. But he's on a comeback. And things are coming into alignment. But see, we need to be sent by authority. Sent by, if it pleases the king. I'm going to finish this message next Sunday because I don't want to give too much at one time. But here's what I want you to catch. Now, I want to be your brother right now. I want you to vision a cross. How many of you know at the foot of the cross we're all equal? Amen? If you come to get counsel from me, I don't counsel you as an apostle. I counsel you as your brother. Because when we all stand at the foot of the cross, we're all level. I want to be at the foot of the cross for a moment. And I want to talk to you. The Lord has given me a word about 2014 being one of the biggest years of breakthrough the church has ever seen. But he also gave me a warning that if people operate outside of being commissioned and apostolically sent, there will be more needless casualties than we've ever seen. And I'm not sorry, but I just love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not time to be out here. Can I tell you what? It has nothing to do with control. But you don't even need to change jobs without getting people in agreement with that. You know, I'm just telling you, there is something about, remember what it said in the book of Acts? And they had all things in common. To have things all in common, there had to be the power of agreement. It's not about us coming and laying everything down and pooling it all. That's not what that's speaking about. It means that, you know, it's just like Jim's son is really, would my word be proper to say he's struggling for his total healing?
Totally disabled.
How old is he?
He's 33.
33 years old. Now let me just tell you something. That ain't right. That ain't right. So here's what I want to get. Jim's 33-year-old son, back surgery and everything, is totally disabled. Can I tell you what? My 33-year-old son is that way because his son is my son. And if we really operate as the body of Christ, this is the way it is. But see, because we haven't understood what the apostolic is really about. It's not about men and women who have this call, gathering up a bunch of people and carving another notch on their belt. I've got, you know, 100. In fact, someone went to someone recently that looks to me as their apostle, and they said, "Was he really an apostle?" And they said, "Well, I believe so." They said, "Well, does he have 1,000 churches under him?" And she said, "Probably not." And they said, "Well, he can't really be an apostle if he don't have 1,000 churches under him." And I like what this lady said to him. Said, "I think he's got more sense than try to have 1,000 churches under him." Because if he did, probably about 800 of them are going to be neglected. Are you hearing me? See, all authority is relational. And I can only be so many places. You know, I don't care how much we do. It's just like tonight. We're going to be over with Philander Smith. What's the street over there? Catching, yeah. We're going to be there. Next Sunday night, I'm going to be in Demopolis. I don't need to travel. I've got the word of the Lord for the church down in Demopolis, Church of Flame, you know, with it. I'm going there because we got the word of the Lord. I'm going there because we have, not because we just have an invitation. Here's what I want to catch in closing. You need to spend between now and next Sunday, you need to spend some time and ask God, where does the door need to be closed where you're operating out beyond where you have agreement? I asked the Lord when he said to me, there will be needless casualties. I said, "Okay, I think I understand, Lord, but what's going to cause these needless casualties to take place?" He said, "When people operate out beyond where they are aligned." How many of you know you can have a call to go to Bulgaria, but if you don't have the power of agreement and commission to do so, you can go there and get your brains beat out? Let me close with this story. Anybody remember a great man of God named T.L. Osborne? Some of you youngsters in the room are too young. You don't remember some of the real patriarchs of the last, you know, with it. I mean, signs and wonders with it. But T.L. Osborne went to India and failed. Was a total failure. Never got a person saved. Never built a church. Never did anything. Just totally failed. Came back to the U.S. a failure. And God spoke to him. He said, "You want me to show you how to become an apostle of signs and wonders of that nation?" And he said, "Lord, I don't want to go back." And the Lord said, "But I want you to go back." And he said, "Lord, I failed so miserably. I don't know if they..." He said, "If you'll go back like I tell you to go back, I'll raise you up to be an apostle of signs and wonders to the people of India." And he said, "Okay." And you know what he went back and did? He started digging ditches, putting roofs on huts, and started serving the people. And signs and wonders broke out. Authority is relational. What better way than to build a relationship than put a roof on somebody's hut? Dig a ditch so that sewage is not just running right in front of their house, right in front of their hut. And he went back and he became a mighty person of God. When we were down in Brazil, we were with a guy, Leif is his name. He's actually from the state, but he had worked with the Hunters. How many of you, the name Happy Hunters ring a bell with you? Hold up your hand. Man, we need to get some books and force these young people to read them, Jim. The Hunters, in one of their first books, make this statement. He had worked with them. He had heard them tell this story. They prayed for over 100,000 people before they first saw their first significant healing. I don't know about you, Art, I'd have quit at 99,000. Amen? Many would have quit at 60,000. Some would have quit at 10,000. And a few would have quit at 1,000. They would have begun to adjust their theology. God's not doing it because we're not seeing it done. But they kept on praying. And probably for their age and their culture and everything, they were used as much in healing and miracles as anybody I know. I remember when they came to Pine Bluff, Arkansas years ago. I mean, people were getting out of wheelchairs. I mean, it was just so significant. The church hung up the wheelchairs and walkers inside after they were there. It was so significant. But see, can I tell you what? The sign of the apostolic is being sent, but it's also endurance. And the happy hunters endured through to that place that breakthrough comes. Stand to your feet. I want to pray over you, but what I want to pray is the fire of understanding of the power of agreement will come upon you. I don't want to be out here. You know that when y'all commissioned us and laid an offering at my feet for Brazil and everything that Sunday, whatever Sunday that was, 17th, I know when it was, that I went there, I'm just telling you, it was easy. I had, you know, in fact, I've had more sinus headaches since I came home from Brazil than I had while I was there. I mean, you know, one sleepless night. I mean, it was just an it. Why? Because I had the power of agreement of this house with me there. Now, can I share something with you? I don't know how to say this better. If one of the elders want to come up and correct me, but if I need the power of agreement as the apostle of who God has groomed me and is grooming me to be, don't you think you might need it as well? I don't want to see you become a needless casualty this next year. I don't want to see you operating out beyond. I want to see the grace of God on whatever that God calls you to be.